So if you have the ability to obtain, access, use, or disclose PHI, protective health information, then the breach notification obligations apply to you. I put up there also the HIPAA personal health record breach notice. So the covered entities that I just mentioned to you must notify individuals that the information belongs to. They also must notify the Secretary of Health and Human Services, and in some cases, even notify media outlets if they, in fact, have determined whether or not there is a breach. Unless it can be demonstrated, however, that the breach was not one that ultimately, or there was a low probability that the protected health information had been compromised. Now, I would tell you that if you have clients that are in the healthcare industry, that is not advice that I would give them. That is to not follow the breach notification obligations under HIPAA, because the risk factor analysis for them to weigh whether or not they believe that the data was actually compromised, or did anybody actually get it, and was it either accessed or was it actually taken from their network, I think that gets too complex, and ultimately may find themselves in an awkward situation. So in the end, what my advice is as it relates to the HIPAA breach notification requirements is this. Before you provide any advice, sit down, get yourself comfortable with each one of these statutes, and then talk through that with your client ad nauseum. And then from that, adjust the plan, the breach notification plan that hopefully your client has in place. Now, here's another one. How many of you feel like you're comfortable with the Graham-Leach-Bliley Act and its requirements? How many of you in the audience feel like this is an area that you're really, really comfortable with? I see one or two hands. Yeah, exactly. So if your client is in the financial service industry, this is what is going to govern their breach notification issues. Now, again, going back to what I told you a moment ago, the show of hands in the room is part of the reason why I took out all the text as well, because the last thing you wanted was to read all that information, with the exception of the two folks who maybe raised their hand to my left. The last thing you wanted to read was a whole bunch of stuff about the GLB. But I put this here for your benefit to use at your leisure. I would simply recommend and commend to you that you do your due diligence. Should you have a client who needs assistance in the financial services, in their industry is in the financial services business. So bear with me, if you will, as I sort of read to you what I consider to be some of the highlights of this particular requirement as I've laid them out here for you now. So here it is. The GBL requires financial institutions to keep private the non-public personal information of customers and to protect the security and confidentiality of that information. That should come as no surprise. Obviously, that's the reason why we're here. That makes sense. So moving on to the GLB interagency guidelines establishing information security standards. Okay. So these are affectionately referred to as the security standards, and they are they're extremely detailed, and the requirements that govern how the financial institutions are to protect customer and consumer information under the institution's control. Again, short and sweet, and that tends to make sense. Moving on to the GLB Fed Reserve joint letter. Now, the joint letter gives additional guidance on the Federal Reserve's expectation for how the institutions should implement a response plan in the event of unauthorized access to customer information maintained by the institution or its service providers, okay? The GBL credit union guidance is very similar to the Federal Reserve joint letter, except it has a lot more detail in it, and it's specific to credit unions, okay? I know this is not sexy stuff, get me, but it's important for us to understand and appreciate if we're going to be providing guidance to our clients on what their breach notification obligations are if they're in the financial services industry. Okay, so I won't get into great detail about the credit union guidance, but you just need to understand that it applies very similarly to the same provisions and obligations set forth in the Federal Reserve joint letter, but it's specific to federal credit unions. And finally, with regard to the GLBSARs, these regulations are designed to fulfill the Bank Secrecy Act and prevent money laundering in the United States. The first regulation cited there obligate national banks to file suspicious activity reports, that's the SARs, when they detect known or suspected violations of the federal law or of suspicious transactions related to money laundering. Okay? That's as deep in the woods as I wanted to get with regard to those. So telecommunications, this is really the FCC's bailiwick, and really the only thing I want to let you know with regard to an industry, or I'm sorry, a client that is involved in the telecommunications industry, is every telecommunications carrier has a duty to protect their information. But get this, the statute, it reads almost like a tongue twister. Here it is. They have a duty to protect the confidentiality of proprietary information of and relating to other telecommunication carriers, equipment manufacturers, and customers, including telecommunication carriers, reselling telecommunication services provided by a telecommunications carrier.